My name is Lawrence Reyes, Pro Temp Acting Chair of the PNB Governance Committee. Today is May 5th, also known as Cinco de Mayo, and we are convening this meeting. I will ask Secretary Pro Temp Nancy Sabah Naratomi from KPFT to take the role. Nancy, please take the role.
Okay. 8:52 Eastern. Alan Beek from KPFK?
Yes, present.
Alan, present. Daniel Borgstrom from KPFA?
Present.
Daniel, present. Vanessa Dixon-Briggs from WPFW?
Present.
Vanessa, present. Bill Crozier from KPFT?
I'm here.
Bill is present. William Heerwagon from WBAI?
Present.
William, present. Wally James from KPFT?
Here.
Wally, present. Lydia Ponce from KPFK?
Present.
Lydia, present. Lawrence Reyes from KPFK?
Presente.
Lawrence is present. Eileen Rosen from WPFW?
No, I'm here.
Eileen is present. James Sagerton from WBAI?
Here.
James is present. Nancy Sabar and I, Tony from KPFT, I'm present. Let's see, Tom Borges from KPFA.
Tom is here.
Tom is present. Michael D.D. White from WBAI.
Here.
Michael is present. Louis Wolf from WPFW.
Louis here.
Louis present. And Carol Wolfley from KPFA. KPFA. Okay, Carol, I do not hear you. All right. We have, Chair, we have quorum. We have 14 present.
Thank you, members, committee members, for being present tonight. The next order of business is appointment of pro temp chair and secretary. Well, we will do the chair first. I'd like to volunteer to be pro temp chair. Any other volunteers? Okay, hearing no others. So that's the order. Anyone want to be pro temp secretary? I have a nomination. I would not like to nominate Nancy Sabah Naratomi.
Okay, I'll be pro temp chair unless somebody else wants to be.
Does anyone else want to step up?
Are we taking nominations for chair?
No, not yet. That's
okay.
Item number two.
Thank you. There's a lot of traffic here on the street. Sorry about that.
I know. I know where you are. There is a lot of traffic over there. Okay. Appointment of timekeepers. James, would you like to keep time for people? James,
I'm sorry. I'm on my phone. I'm not in front of my computer.
Okay. Does anyone want to keep time for people?
Lawrence, I'll volunteer for that. It's Lewis.
Lewis? Okay,
yes.
Thank you, Lewis. Anyone want to keep time for items? Okay.
Carol, I just wanted to say I'm on the call.
Oh.
Okay, Carol,
okay.
Welcome.
Carol's present. I got you.
Okay. So now we'll go... Hold on one second. There's a helicopter flying over my house.
Chair, did somebody say anything about being a timekeeper for the items?
No. Does anybody want to be timekeeper for items? Okay. So I will try to keep time on my other phone, or if you want to do it, Nancy, that would be fine, too.
Okay.
Okay.
An item. Yeah. So say that. Yeah. Okay.
The question, I'm keeping time for what then?
People. 90 seconds. 90 seconds for people.
90 seconds. I've got it. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. So that was D, letter E is agenda approval. Now we go to, that's kind of a little bit backwards. Okay. So this is what we have. Number three is bylaw subcommittee report. Number four is items for discussion, timeline on article for incorporation proposal. I don't think, and parameters of other city officers, that's a 30-minute item. New business, if any, and Alan Beek submitted 3 motions for KPFK that I sent to all board members except for, all board members except for Daniel Bolstrom, because I did not have his email address. So if anybody could send that to Daniel, if they have his email address, that would be great. And then we have review of action items, and then we're adjourning time certain at try to adjourn at 10:30 Eastern time. So that's 7:30 Pacific time, and I believe it's 9:30 out there in Texas.
Chair, yes,
go ahead.
I sent some about 5 motions for new business, and one of them is a little bit time sensitive, but only if the committee wants to do it. I mean, it has to be in a membership vote, so that's why it needs to go out if we're going to if we want to do it. Yeah, and I want to ask Daniel Borgstrom, did he get the thing from Eileen, the agenda?
Yeah, I just looked at it right now.
Okay, good.
Okay, so Nancy, your item will be new business items, so that's section 5, and so would Alan Beek, but since Alan Beek got his before you, he got his motions in before you did, his motions will go first on the new business. Are you okay with that? And then we could address the one that you say is time sensitive when we get to new items. I mean, when we get to new business, okay?
Okay, but it has to go out with the referendum.
Okay.
Excuse me. Chair, question.
Yes,
when can I express an objection or a reservation about the agenda?
You could do that now. You could do that now, Eileen.
Okay. I am not even finding the motions from Alan Beek. And we got a lot of stuff from Nancy and I guess Alan, just like very late in the day, too late, I think, to actually read them and think about them. So I would like us to perhaps prioritize the one that Nancy says is time sensitive. And then, maybe get to the others, depending on the timing.
Okay, your concern is noted, and we would do that when we get to 3, and we would take a look at prioritizing those motions. Is that your wish, Eileen?
That's fine, but where are the motions from Alan Beek?
I sent them to you yesterday, or the day before. I sent them to you yesterday when. About 2 hours after we talked.
I don't think I have them. I don't know.
You sent it to us in the agenda. I mean, it's in the agenda. A motion B5B, it says. I moved that Article 7, Section 3.
I just resent the Articles of Incorporation one.
No, that doesn't have to be resent, because that was already part of the agenda.
Yeah,
so Alan's motion, and Nancy, your motions came in today, so that it's going to be really difficult to a degree to get to those. But we'll get to that, at least to the one that's time sensitive.
Here they are. I just found them.
You just found them? Okay.
At 3 in the morning or something.
What time was it?
It was 3:20 a.m. my time.
Oh,
I didn't see them.
It was about I was awake. I was reading a great book. I'm reading a great book. Okay. So I was awake. I was definitely awake.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I was awake. So the next thing on the agenda is number 2, which is nominations to elect the chair and the secretary. Are there any nominations? Let me ask, are there any volunteers first? Are there any nominations?
For chair,
are
I
any
have
nominations
Lydia.
For chair?
This is Lydia.
Okay, Lydia, you have the floor.
I would like to also dedicate this meeting to the MMIW, Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women. 5-5 is now known and recognized as that. And I'd like to nominate Lawrence, who's more than capable of running a smooth meeting, even when all kinds of motions come the day before, the day of, and I think he does it in a very gentle way. I nominate. Will you accept the nomination?
Thank you, Lydia. I would accept your nomination. Are there any other nominations? So should I move by acclamation for the position as chair to the only nominee, myself, Lawrence Reyes? Are there any objections? Okay. Thank you very much for your confidence in me. And Lydia thinks I'm gentle, and I may be at times, but sometimes I have my moments, believe me. Right, Eileen? Right, Nancy? Anyway.
You have your moments. We all do.
Okay. But that's human nature, right? But I try to definitely recognize that that there's a lot of stuff that still goes on as being a man and being colonized as a colonial subject after decolonized. Okay. We'll go to secretary. Are there any nominations for secretary? I'd like to put a nomination for secretary, Nancy Sabah Naratomi. Are there any other nominations or volunteers?
Nancy accepts.
Are there any volunteers? Okay, Nancy, thank you for stepping up. I appreciate it. I know how conscientious you are. And I think we'll work well together. Let's communicate. All right. So now number three is the bylaw subcommittee. But what I'd like to suggest to the committee is that we look at prioritizing. Why don't we go with the time-sensitive motion first? And then we'll go to Adam Beats, who got his in before Nancy got hers in. Nancy, go to the time-sensitive one, please.
Okay. I made a mistake calling it Articles of Incorporation. It's not. It's just a bylaw. But it's a particular bylaw that needs to is required to have a membership vote. So if the committee thinks this is feasible and they like it, if they want to work on this, it would be extending the tenure of LSB from 3 years to 4 years, and it would require a membership vote. And if we were to hurry and get it done, if we want it, it could be included in the next election, in the membership
vote. Can you read it, please?
Oh, okay.
And I have a question for you, Nancy. I thought May the 3rd was the deadline, the bylaws timeline deadline already. So,
well, I don't know.
I think the timeline was May 3rd to get in any bylaws, because it requires a certain amount of time, as you see in the timeline for the Articles of Incorporation. There was a timeline, and that time has exceeded by 2 days. So everything had to be noticed by the 3rd of May in order to fit
really?
Into that timeline that's going to facilitate the LSB elections.
Okay, so it whatever needs to be passed by the PMB has to take 60 days, and then the PMB of notice, 60-day notice, and then the PMB votes and the LSBs vote, And I looked at your timeline for the articles of incorporation.
There's one correction that I've got to make.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
No.
The timeline, instead of September 14th, as the end date to vote, is actually October 14th. So I made a mistake on that, and which is going to be corrected tonight, and then I'm going to take it to the PNB to just make a simple correction. The timeline has passed in regards to the days that things have to be noticed and to be included in the membership vote that's going to take place during the other three elections, and for the Articles of Incorporation bylaws timeline. So I think at this point, this motion will probably not be in order, Nancy.
Okay. So the ballots go out on August the 15th. And it has to be 60 days before that, so August, July, June, that's 60 days. And notice. I still think it has a chance to be passed.
Okay, read it.
Yeah.
Go ahead and read it, and then we'll have I'd like to narrow the discussion to 7 minutes. Go ahead, Nancy, and read it, please.
Okay. I want to ask the other, this proposed Articles of Incorporation notice date, May 3rd, all right, and then 60 days, then July 1st, the notice period.
Nancy,
finishes.
Is this the amendment that you're proposing to expand the terms of LSV members from 3 to 4?
Yes.
That's what's in order right now, not the Articles of Incorporation.
No, I was just looking at the time. Like, you're saying that it's too late, then we don't need to do it in a hurry.
Right. That's what I'm thinking. Now, let's open it up. I'd like you to read it. Because it's just you and me having discussion. I'd like to get the wisdom of the committee. Please read it.
Okay.
Bill for the stack.
Hold on. Bill, is this a point of order or?
No.
Or you want
I thought you wanted a discussion. Yeah, for the stack.
Yeah, well, I want Nancy to read the her amendment first. Nancy, please read it.
Okay. This bylaw amendment requires a membership vote. Okay, and here's the text. Whereas extending the LSV tenure by 1 year from 3 years to 4 years would allow more valuable experience and save the expense of an election from two elections in 3 years to two elections in 4 years. Therefore, be it moved that the LSV elected tenure be 4 years. And then the points of reference is, just points. Many LSV members become knowledgeable and confident at about 3 years when it's time to end their tenure. And a few LSV members excel in knowledge and confidence and ability at a faster pace. However, the cost of the Pacifica LSV's elections has been about $100,000 in the past. So this would save $100,000 in a period of 4 years. The bylaws, I sent it first and then I sent it again with a little bit of corrections or, you know, make it better. So anything that's in between two red boxes, like 3 years, that will be removed from the bylaw. So this is the bylaw text. Article 4, Delegates, Section 8, Term of Office, Term Limits. A delegate's term of office shall be, and instead of 3 years, put 4 years, beginning in December. A delegate may serve a maximum of, instead of two consecutive three-year terms, it would be replaced by six consecutive years, and in no event more than six cumulative years. From this point on, it's the same as the present bylaw. No more than six cumulative years without 1 year, 12 consecutive months break. If a delegate serves as an elected or alternate for an incomplete year, those months of service must be counted towards the 6 years cumulative limit. Only a 1 year, 12 consecutive months lapse as a delegate will trigger the reset of the 6 years cumulative limit. Okay, and the other in Article 4 is about delegates. Another one changes, that it will touch will be the Articles 4 Delegates, Section 3, Election of Delegates. And everything is the same up to, instead of election of delegates shall be staggered over a 3 year period, it will be a 4 year period with elections for 3 staff and 9 listener sponsored delegates held in the first year, elections for the 3 delegates and 9 listener sponsored delegates held in the second year, and no elections in the third year and no elections in the fourth year. So those are the only changes to the bylaws. The time limit, I wrote, I added, it is possible to squeeze this into the 2021 LSB election, but we must be hurrying about this. And I asked the committee if you did think this is worthwhile to do or good to do to continue with it.
Okay. Thank you, Nancy, for reading that. We'll leave it up to the committee to decide. I will put myself on the stack after I hear the wisdom of the committee members, and I have Bill Crozier first on the stack. Anyone else?
And Eileen to the stack after you.
Okay, Eileen. Anyone else?
Nancy.
Nancy, okay. Mr. Crozier, you have the floor.
Okay, thank you. Well, first, you know, this you can't just have this amendment by itself, because right now we have elections 2 out of every 3 years. And this doesn't specify how we deal with that. Are the elections going to be every 2 years or what? It doesn't say. Secondly, this is, you know, one of the things I hear from members is that we're already real anti-democratic because so many people drop off the LSBs before the term ends, with 3-year terms, and then we end up having the vacancies filled with people that got fewer and fewer votes. We've had people filling vacancies that got only 1 vote. And this would make that problem worse, because you end up having people who are clearly not elected by the members being put on the board to fill vacancies if you have longer terms. And also, I would appreciate if you could write these up and send it, like, this is the complete text now, and then this would be the revised text. This one's relatively simple, but some of the others are that you wrote really hard to follow, Nancy. But and the other thing is that we don't save $100,000 every – I'm not sure what the frequency you were talking about. We save – because right now, like I say, we have elections 2 out of every 3 years. And so I'm not sure – I assume that if we'd have elections every 2 years or maybe just every 4 years, because you don't say if they're staggered or not. So I think this would have to be revised anyway to make sense. And so I just don't think it's a good idea to approve this amendment.
Okay, so I would consider that to be a con to the amendment. Is that
correct?
Am I interpreting correctly? Okay. Eileen, you have the floor.
Well, I was also going to say something about the timing of things. I will say that in principle, I agree with perhaps extending the time. But I do agree with Bill that it needs to be worked on and taking into account what happens to the PNB directors as well. You know, how does this affect the PNB? And it just needs more work. I like the idea of, you know, trying to save some money, but also continuity. I think, you know, right now, if we have 2 consecutive 3-year terms, that's 6 years, which is a lot, and a lot of people stay on for the whole 6 years. But I'm more worried about the continuity on the PNB, because that's a yearly changeover. So I just think this probably needs more work. But the idea is good, you know, should be considered and worked on. I'll hold there.
Are you done, Arlene?
Yeah,
Michael,
yeah.
Right to the stack.
Thank you. Who's that? Who asked for the stack?
Michael White to the stack. Michael White to the stack.
Michael, you have the floor.
And
who
Carol
asked?
To the stack.
I think someone was ahead of me. Wasn't there? I'm sorry.
Alan Bate to the stack.
Okay,
all right.
Hold
if,
on.
If no one was ahead of me.
I got Michael D.D. White. I have Lewis. I have Carol. Then I have Alan Beek. Go ahead, Michael. You have the floor. No, I'm sorry. Nancy, I'm going to go to Michael. I'm going to go to the others who haven't spoken yet.
Yes.
I'll give you an opportunity. I'll give you an opportunity to motivate, okay? Are you okay with that, Nancy?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, thank you. Michael, WBAI.
So I'm thinking that the proposed rationale for this is that it allows people who have developed expertise to stay longer. But the way that it's structured, it's not addressing precisely that or doing only that. Yes, Bill is right that by extending the terms, people might get more experience, but you also open it up for the exhaustion factor that we have a problem with people dropping off. But lengthening the terms doesn't get people more experienced. You're bringing up the alternatives that come when people drop off. Really what you need to do is just, and you're making it people less responsive to the electorate because they have a longer term before they have to go back. And in fact, you know, they might be a replacement person that doesn't have to go back for a very long time. So you get a less responsive board. What you really need to do is something that specifically says that people don't have to drop off so fast. And yes, I do agree that the real question, one of the things that we need is people who are really experienced being able to stay longer on the PNB if necessary.
Thank you, Michael, for your comments. Lewis Wolf.
Lawrence, I didn't say anything. I didn't offer to speak. Thank you.
Oh, okay. I thought I heard your voice. I'm sorry. All right. Carol Wolfley from KPFA.
Yeah, thanks. So I share Eileen's concern that we really need to look at the PNB, where a lot of very serious financial and policy decisions are being made. And sorry, my granddaughter.
Sounds like somebody objects to the financial decisions being made.
Yeah. Anyway, I think part of it is that we need skill on these boards. And one of the issues I have as a local station board secretary is that we see a lot of people who are currently on the board don't know how to read the budget, or they don't know how to write the budget, or there are conflicts of interest involving evaluations, so there are a lot of areas where people don't have the knowledge or experience to make the decision. So I think in a certain way this is going in the right direction of wanting to have I see the intention of wanting to have people have skill and knowledge, and I think the whole structure of the LSBs needs to change, and I also would like to see them focus more on actually doing things than you know, getting into a lot of conflicts all the time, but actually doing fundraising work. And we're doing a training with our local station board on fundraising and also doing outreach and those kinds of things. So in terms of pro or con, I would propose that we wait on this until we can get a little further. And really, I think we really need to focus on what's going on with the national board where the crucial decisions are being made. Thanks.
Thank you, Carol. Anyone else who hasn't spoken would like to...
Yes, Alan Bake.
Oh, go ahead, Alan. I'm sorry, I do have your name here. Go ahead, Alan.
Well, this is a very complicated thing. Obviously, we're getting into a very involved discussion right now. And if we try to work the whole thing out during official meetings of the governance committee, it's going to take forever to try to get it right. I think the thing to do is to ask for a task force of volunteers who will work it informally outside of meetings. They can exchange emails back and forth every day or two to play the arguments back and forth against each other and figure out all the things that have to be considered and try to find the best result. And once they've got something they think is really good, then they can bring it back to the committee. And I would like to suggest that be our procedure from now on, that we ask for that task force of volunteers to do the hard work, but to do it fast. Just send emails back and forth every day or two, like having a conversation, and get it settled in a hurry. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Very salient point. So I'm on the stack. Anybody else who hasn't spoken that would like to chime in?
Lawrence, I guess I would like to. This is Lewis Wolf again. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Lewis. I thought I heard your voice.
Well, that was not then.
Okay. I'm just kidding, brother. Go ahead, man.
Okay. One of the issues of concern I have is the fact that here, I don't know if this is true across Pacifica, that on our LSB, and this is, I think, my fourth, if not my fifth year already, is that it is stated publicly and formally that we as an LSB are only advisory. We have no, other than advisory status, it's up to the administration, that is the program director and the general manager. And is that true with the other stations, with the other LSPs, I mean?
Well, you know, I'll let you finish, and then when I get on the stack,
finished.
I'll...
Yeah, I'm finished.
Okay. So each LSP has its own culture and its own idiosyncrasies, if you will. Yeah. So in that respect, now this is where... You actually have an opportunity be on the PMB subcommittee or PMB committee is the opportunity to make your voice heard, to put forth your resolutions, and for those resolutions to go in front of the Pacifica National Board for a up and down vote, for discussion, or for amending, or whatever. And that's the advantage that you have, that other LSP members from other LSPs who do not volunteer to be on committees and do some work do not have. So I think that's one way of mitigating the advisory capacity that we have. But we are advisory committees to the PMB. LSPs are advisory committees to the PMB. So in that respect, you're correct. There's a certain amount of oversight that the other SPs do have in regards to ensuring that programming is mission-driven, reflects the demographics, and all of that stuff that's in the bylaws. And also, when the other SP has a local finance committee, there's some financial oversight. The other SPs also are submitted a budget for approval. So those are the type of things that other SPs do. And then those budgets are ratified, I believe, and James could chime in on this, by the National Finance Committee and by the PMB. So in respect to that, now, where I see this going, Nancy, from what I'm hearing, the wisdom that I'm hearing, is that this is a great concept and a great idea and a potential bylaw amendment that I believe should go to the bylaw subcommittee for further work. And I know that you are part of that committee, and there's others that are part of that bylaw subcommittee, in order to refine it and to make it succinct and make it comprehensible, right? So that would be what I would encourage you to do, is to take it to the bylaw subcommittee for further review and refining. Is there anyone that hasn't spoken before I go to Nancy for the last word on this item that would like to speak on this item? Okay, Nancy, you have the last word.
Okay, it's not too late to do this, but it does need a timeline, which I did not make yet. And but the May 3rd deadline is only for articles in the corporation. This is just a bylaw amendment. The reason why I said time sensitive is because it requires a membership vote, and I thought we could get it in together with this election, LSB election. Now, Bill's point about it's not staggered, it is staggered, but I guess you didn't read it right. Anyway, it's staggered. Instead of over a three-year period, it'd be over a four-year period. And about LSB's quitting, I mean, people quit when they want to quit. I mean, it doesn't mean that just because you're elected for 4 years instead of three that more people are going to quit. Not necessarily. But I was looking forward to saving money for an election, because we are not making that much money anymore, are we, to be having such expensive elections. And anyway, I think it's still a good idea, but about the PMB, this, I did not touch PMB. I just touched the Article 4, which was delegates, their elections. For PMB, that would be another bylaw amendment if you want to extend the PMB tenure.
So I'm going to make a recommendation.
And also, what I'm proposing has nothing to do about more fundraising or more professionals. This has nothing to do. It just has to be about tenure if we want to keep the same three-year tenure to make it four. That's all. I'm finished.
Okay. Thank you. So what I'd like to do as chair, I'd like to make a recommendation that this go to the bylaws subcommittee for further edification and refinement. And so that would be my recommendation. Are there any objections to that recommendation?
Yes.
I heard Alan. Was that you, Alan?
Yes.
Okay, state your objection, Alan.
I would like to see it sent to a task force which does not hold official meetings and does not have to regard Robert's rules, and which can act quickly and send things back and forth every day or two. If you send it to a subcommittee, it's going to take forever to get done.
Okay. So that's an alternate proposal. But we did create this bylaw subcommittee to do exactly this type of work, to, you know, vet and refine and workshop amendments and stuff like that. That's why it's called a bylaw subcommittee. But if Alan, if you want to put forth a motion for a specific task force for this particular motion, you're more than welcome to do so.
Well, I hate to be that formal. I'd rather see it done informally. But if you demand a motion, I'll make a motion that this this topic be assigned to a volunteer task force and instead of to the bylaws subcommittee.
Okay. So there's a motion that's not even second because we are in committee. I would take about 3 minutes. I will take about 3 minutes of discussion on this motion. And Alan, would you volunteer to be on the task force?
Yes, I would. But that's not the idea.
Right. Okay. Good. Thank you, Alan. for putting skin in the game. Nancy, go ahead.
Yes. Alan, not Alan, I'm sorry. I know somebody who's Alan. Alan wrote to us recently that and reminding us that a committee cannot make a subcommittee. And I checked, and he's right. He's correct. So that would be if we change the name from subcommittee to a task force or working force. And then Robert's Rules of Order has a committee of the whole where there's no votes taken. It's just discussion, informal discussion. And even the LSB can go into the committee of the whole at any time if they want to have free back and forth. I just wanted to put that out. There is that kind of thing. So I'm all for the committee. I just want to make sure the committee is okay with this, or do they want to do work on this on just in a governance committee? Just, you know, or how many people want to do this?
Okay, so
Michael, wait to the task
force. Oh, hold on, please. A task force is always to create a task force is always in order. We do have a subcommittee, and committees are allowed to create subcommittees for specific purposes. Who wanted to stack?
That's Michael White.
Go ahead, Michael.
So I'm on the bylaws task force or subcommittee. I'm not going to argue it. And for the same reasons that I went on that subcommittee, I would want to be on this task force, but really, I feel like Voldemort splintering his soul into, how many committees can I be on to deal with one thing? It seems to me that, a lot of this is interesting enough to be sending emails to the governance committee at large. I would just as soon not to have different things that I have to show up at, just one more committee to deal with the same stuff.
All right, thank you, Michael. Anyone else? Okay, so my recommendation to send Nancy's motion or her potential amendment to the bylaw subcommittee has been amended to create a task force to specifically deal with that one thing, to deal with the one thing that Nancy proposed. So a no vote will allow it to go to the bylaw subcommittee. A yes vote will create a one-issue task force to refine Nancy's potential amendment. Does that make sense? Am I in the ballpark? Okay, Nancy, take the role.
Wait a minute, I have a question. So
the
subcommittee you're saying is changing its name to task force, and it will have different duties than the subcommittee had. The subcommittee is working on bylaw amendment.
You know what? Why don't I separate the two? Why don't we just leave the bylaw subcommittee as it is and create this task force to deal with your potential bylaws amendment? Does that make, I think that makes more sense.
Well, this is Alan Beek. Can I speak again?
Yeah, Alan, go ahead.
Well, I would be satisfied if you'd leave it in the bylaw subcommittee and just free the bylaw subcommittee of the needs to have scheduled meetings and take minutes and go by Robert's Rules of Order. Just allow them to be informal and exchange emails with each other every day or two and have a conversation. What I'm aiming at is something where you each take a glass of wine and sit around the fire after dinner and have a nice conversation. And that way you can really get something done and play the arguments against each other and remind each other the things you forgot and get it all done. I want to get it done.
Okay.
Michael,
so you're
White,
you're
to the stack.
You're proposing something that something like a fireside chat that FDR used to do. Okay, Michael, go ahead.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't know that Robert's Rules of Order prohibits us from exchanging information about what we might be interested in seeing or how we could resolve it by email and then meeting on it later on. So I think we're already free to have those emails, and I think we could be productive that way. So I'm not sure we need to actually take a formal action to permit that.
Right. So from what I hear you saying, Michael, we don't need another layer. We could just do, as you said, the same email, remain in communication with each other. Bylaw subcommittee does not require a quorum. You can make rules that if a vote is needed, yes, you can have a vote, but not necessarily. So it's a free-flowing opportunity of ideas, right? So Alan is okay with it, and I hear there's some consent to continue to work with the bylaw subcommittee and take up this issue and remain in constant communication. Is that what I'm hearing? Am I in the bleachers or am I in the bus seats?
It's okay with me.
Nancy, with a question.
Go ahead, Nancy. I'd like to move on, but go ahead.
Yes. Can we call this the Governance Committee's Bylaw Revisions Task Force? Then we don't fall into the making a mistake like Alan pointed out, and I checked, and a committee cannot make a subcommittee, but we can have a task force and then keep it open to the whole governance committee, and any emails, I think we should make sure everybody in the governance committee can see them at least, so it's not like reinventing the wheel when we get together. And don't limit it just to my motion, but we have a lot of bylaw amendments and cleaning up of the bylaws. We have a lot of things we need to do, not just one thing.
I know. And we could pile up a whole bunch of stuff. But go ahead, Eileen.
Yeah, I'm wondering, has the bylaws, previously known as subcommittee, has it actually met and gotten anything going or gotten anything done? Because I was envisioning that it would start out by figuring out what does it need to do and what is the process for reviewing the bylaws. I guess I had the idea at least that it wouldn't be just a piecemeal effort, but that people would read through all of the bylaws and see what's working, what's not, and what fits together and what contradicts, start from like a higher level look at the bylaws and then, work down to figure it out. But, you need to see how it's going to work. The committee or subcommittee or task force. So I was just wondering if any of that has been done.
Nancy?
Go ahead, Nancy.
Yes, we did work on it a little bit, and we had planned to start from the ends, for the end, work towards the middle of the bylaws, going through the present bylaws and noting what needs to be changed, what needs to be corrected, mm-hmm. And the last time we met was a month ago, and I think it was Vanessa and Lydia. Was it Vanessa, Lydia, and Alan, and James, and Michael, and I think Janine was on for a short time to be a secretary.
Who said that? I was on for a short time as well.
Lawrence.
At the beginning, and then you had to leave. Anyway, we did discuss about another thing, and I'm trying to remember what it was. Oh, yes, the PNB, when they have their elections and at the beginning of the year, and then later on, some PNB maybe resigns or...
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, we...
We don't need a report right now. I'm just wondering, if it's functioning.
So I think what we should do is take volunteers right now. Start an email chain or convene a meeting. We have Alan Deek, Michael DDY. I will volunteer, and I will try to make it if it doesn't cut into something else I'm doing. So are there any other volunteers that would like to do some meaningful work?
Say once a month. Is that right?
Once a month. Yeah, at least once a month.
Otherwise,
email could be every day or every other day or whatever, you know. Who?
More volunteers?
Michael White, any
questions, Bill?
Okay, Michael.
Could we just clarify whether we're talking about this people being members of the bylaw subcommittee? Or whether this is just opening up on this particular issue generally.
Okay, yeah, that's so are you saying that members, LSB members that aren't on the governance committee and volunteers could serve on this committee? Is that the question?
Well, I thought that we were basically giving it to the governance committee and inviting the governance committee to distribute emails broadly to the bylaws task force to distribute emails broadly to the anyone who's interested in the on the governance committee, but I'm a little unclear on what we're actually proposing.
Okay.
So let me see if I could go ahead, Nancy. Maybe you could clear it up.
Yes, I move that the governance committee's bylaw revisions task force be open to all members of this committee and meet once a month and on email.
I hope it meets more often than that.
Well, we can meet by, together with our voices and our together on a teleconference once a month at least. And then if we have more time and more energy, we can do some more, maybe Saturday and Sunday meetings or Friday meetings.
And communicate through email. I think it's important that we could communicate through email. So.
Yeah, communicate through email to the whole, carbon copy the whole committee, so the whole entire governance committee knows what is being done. And they can join in and add in something or input at any time. And it would be not just this one bylaw amendment that I was proposing, but we have many, many things we're supposed to be cleaning up in the bylaws.
Okay. We got it, Nancy.
Not restricted.
Yeah, and don't restrict it. Okay, not be restricted. Okay, so does that clear it up for you, Michael?
I think so.
Okay, thank you. I think it clears up for me, too. All right, so we have Alan, myself, and I think I heard Eileen. Matt,
and Bill.
And Bill.
Bill was not here.
No, I have a question. Bill has a question.
Oh, what's the question?
Okay, is this the task force Alan was talking about, or is this the existing subcommittee on bylaws?
Yeah, it was the task force was just added at the end. The bylaws subcommittee revision task force, I think, was what Nancy said. Right, Nancy?
Yeah, don't use the word subcommittee, just the governance committee's bylaw revision task force.
Okay. Yeah,
but it replaces the existing subcommittee.
Yes.
Yeah, it does.
And by the way, I think Nancy's incorrect about saying committees can't have subcommittees. There's no such prohibition. And if that was the case, then the LSBs couldn't establish any committees because they're subcommittees of the PNB.
No. It says a committee cannot make another subcommittee. It can make a task force, a working group, or something like that.
I don't think that prohibition exists.
Okay. I found it when Alan sent it, and I don't know where it is now. When I find it, I'll send it to the committee.
Send it to the committee, yeah. And we could agree to disagree. It's okay.
Okay, but this is a task force that essentially replaces or the existing subcommittee. Okay, thank you.
Yes.
I'm okay with that. But I agree with Alan that you should be able to meet more informally and frequently.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and, you know, that could be determined, right? Whether you're going to meet 2-3 times a month or whatever, you know. But I think carbon copying everyone on the general committee is a good thing, too. Okay. So I think we have consent, right? Are there any objections? We do have consent. Great. Okay. So let's move on to the next item on the agenda. And Alan Beek, one at a time, your motions, please.
You want me to read them, or have you got them in writing?
I got them in writing, but if you could read the gist of it, that would be helpful.
Well, okay. I'll just say what it is that when we find something we need to change in the bylaws, we don't have to go through a whole amending process right away, especially if it's a minor item. We can just save up the minor items until we got something significant and then have a bylaws amendment, because a bylaws amendment is a lot of trouble. We don't want to do it over nothing. And that's all this is just stack them up and save them in a file that the Pacifica secretary holds. And as soon as we want to do them, they take them out of the file and propose them. That's all there is to it.
Okay. Is there any discussion on that?
I think it's a great idea.
Okay. I'm writing up.
Hold on.
Sorry?
Hold on, Nancy. Aline just spoke up. Go ahead, Aline.
Yeah, I didn't ask for the floor, though. No, I think that's a great idea, you know, process them in batches, so to speak, rather than in dribbles.
Michael White to the stack.
Right. Michael, go ahead. You have the floor.
I'm not sure how this is worded and when we would know when we were ready to let the dam loose.
If we can use our judgment.
So let me read it. Let me read the first one. I move as a matter of procedure, this is a procedural motion, that when this committee passes a motion making an amendment to the Pacifica Foundation bylaws, the amendment shall be placed in a pending file maintained by the secretary of the foundation. The amendment is not thereby proposed in the sense of Article 17. Proposing an amendment is not blocked by its being in the pending file. It may be proposed by any of the unusual methods, of the usual methods. An amendment that is proposed and acted upon is removed from the pending file. So as my teacher in elementary school used to tell me, chunk my work. So the explanation is it would be a waste of time and money to have a separate election for each minor amendment, like number 2 below. They should be accumulated until they are enough to make a significant improvement. Does that clear it up for you?
I'm not sure. It seems to me, we're creating a concept of a pending file, and I'm not sure what that is. But I guess we've got things that would be going through the governance committee, and then things that would be arriving at the PNB. I'm not sure where the pending file is, whether it's at the in the out basket of the governance committee or the in basket of the PNB. And then I guess from time to time, it seems to me it would be appropriate from the governance committee to say, you know, we think that we've got a bunch of things in the basket that are now worth acting on collectively. The PNB could take that advice or not, but I'm not sure how this would work mechanically.
Okay. So The first one, I'm reading the motions that Alan put forward. The first one is a procedural motion, and I believe that needs PMB approval because it's going to, I don't like to say direct, but instruct the secretary that she has to create some kind of pending file in some kind of pending file on resolutions, right? And then there may be, I think there has to be a financial assessment as well as to see if this does waste time and money or to have it, you know, I mean, having separate elections, I mean, we've had two of them back to back. We had one in last year and we have another one this year on the referendum, on two referendums. So I could see Adam's concern. But I think the procedure motion is not a membership vote, but I think the other two are. Because you're looking to delete, you know, believe it or not, and Bill could chime in on this, and so can James and Michael. So I look at number two, where it says, in regards, move that in Article 7, Section 3 is amended by replacing the words to review and approve that station's budget with the words to prepare and submit that station's budget. Explanation, if a bad budget is proposed and the LSP disapproves of it, then the LSP is in violation of the bylaw directing it to approve. So I'll defer to the wisdom of the committee. Anybody want to chime in?
Which one are we talking about, though?
A comment. I don't understand how you moved from the first motion to the second motion.
Right.
When they don't have anything to do with each other.
But this is the way I moved, Eileen and Bill. The way I moved was by interpreting motion number one as a procedure motion that will have to be referred from this committee to the PMB for a PMB vote. It's just a procedure. It's creating, it's asking the secretary of the foundation to create a pending file. So I think that's a procedure motion. Then I made the mistake of going to number two. So, but that's my interpretation. I'm not married to it. So anyway, when I get married, I always get divorced. So anyone else want to chime in on this?
Bill, I guess.
Eileen, go ahead.
I'm not sure what problem number one is trying to solve. I mean, most of the time, bylaws amendments are not voted on by the membership. I think the one last year was the first time ever. And typically what happens is that, you know, people save up their own amendments, or a group of people will put them together and then get the LSB to set, I mean, the PNB to set a schedule for voting on them by the PNB and the delegates. So that's happening already anyway. So I'm not sure why we need this number one. And you're right, it might create a lot extra work for the secretary, and there's a chance things might fall through the cracks, in which case we'd go back to what we were doing anyway, I guess.
May I speak on it? This is Alan.
Hold on, Alan. I have a stack. I'll put you on the stack. Go ahead, Eileen. Are you done, Bill?
Yeah, I was going to say,
yes.
Maybe we don't need to make the PNB secretary hold on to them. This seems to me to be part of the process or work of the bylaws task force, you know, be working on assorted bylaws that, you know, amendments they come up with and hang on to them until we're ready to send them. I don't know. I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought, so I'll stop here. I'm done. Hello? What happened?
Lawrence?
I can't hear Lawrence.
Lawrence?
can you hear us?
I muted myself. I'm sorry. I muted because I had a call. I think Alan was next on the stack. Anybody else want to be on the stack?
Yeah, Nancy.
Go ahead, Alan, then Nancy.
Well, we may have things proposed by this task force. We may have things proposed that we work out in full committee meetings. We might come up with proposed amendments in various ways. And when we find one that we think we've got it all down right, we take a vote on it, and we'd probably get a lot of members of the national board on this committee voting for it. So that would mean there would be six votes for it, which, according to the bylaws, makes it a proposed amendment. And so I think we want to make sure that we don't actually propose it as amendment. It is just something that we've got ready to go here when somebody wants to make that amendment. It may not be something we want to make at this time. So this allows us to do all our thinking and our wording and vote on it and say, yes, that's what we want, and then save it until the right time to actually propose it.
Okay, and Bill, can you put me on the stack again?
I'll put myself on the stack. And Bill, again? Okay, you'll be after me, Bill. Go ahead, okay.
Yes, I wanted to make a motion, a written motion, so and that we vote with no objections. But I wanted to check the wording with the committee first about what we decided about the task force, because I'd like to put it in the minutes that we agreed to it, and we don't know what exactly we agreed to. So may I propose I just drafted of what
okay.
we just did. Okay, so it goes like this. The governance committee moves to have a bylaws revision task force to work on recommendations for bylaw amendments and needed resolutions, meeting in a teleconference and via email. Does anybody want to add something or take something out?
No, that's fine. That's fine.
Okay.
Are there any objections to that? Okay, we already agreed anyway, so good. All right, so is that what you wanted the stack for, Nancy?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm on the stack. So I think, I like this concept, but I also think it's going to be trying to punt away, for lack of a better word, the responsibility of the governance committee. I think the governance committee, and we had discussed this last year about creating an archive of policies and procedures and motions and resolutions that were passed or that were passed and became policy. So I see this as a natural fit for the committee we just the task force we just created. In regards to developing a pending file, I like the idea of a pending file. And then once those things are actionable, then they could be sent to the secretary of the foundation. So that's my two cents. Alan.
Yeah, I don't care if we keep it, if our secretary keeps it. Then we don't have to bother the Secretary of the Foundation with it. That's okay with me.
Yeah. Okay, thank you, Alan. All right, so number two, I think I'm going to need the wisdom of the committee because I think this is a membership type of thing that needs to be voted on because replacing words in Article 7, Section 3, is amended by replacing the words to review and approve the station's budget with the words to prepare and submit that station's budget. Explanation, if a bad budget is proposed, then the other three disapproves it. Then the other three is in violation of the bylaw directing it to approve it. I'll take a stack. So my interpretation is that this is potentially a bylaw amendment.
Bill for the stack.
Yes, it is.
I don't think this requires membership vote, if that's what you're saying, Lawrence. But, you know, I think we're really getting down the weeds. I'm not sure it makes a lot of difference, the exact wording. But, you know, but realistically, the LSBs don't prepare budgets. The management of the station prepares the budgets. They're usually based on the previous year's budget. The LSB is supposed to provide input to management of what changes and what priorities they would like. There was a motion passed by the PNB about 10 years ago on the budget approval timeline or preparation and approval timeline. And in, I think, starting in March or April of the each year, the LSBs are supposed to compile a list of priority items of things that might need to be changed, added or whatever to the local budgets. But so it's then the management then revises them. Typically it's the business manager that does it in coordination with the GM. And then it goes back to the LSB until, you know, ideally everybody's happy, or at least, you know, it's voted on to the LSB.
Okay.
So I'm not sure the proposed wording actually, you know, would work. But I see the point, though.
The bylaws at present says they shall review and approve that station's budget. So the bylaws place some responsibility on the LSB for the budget, because they say they have to review it and approve it. But to say they have to approve it is ridiculous when it might be not at all suitable for approving.
Yeah.
Like saying you have to look at a girl and say, I want to marry her. You may not want to marry her. The budget that they get, and they often do, I know very well from experience, there are lots of budgets prepared which are absolutely terrible, and they should not be approved. So for the bylaws to say you have to approve it is ridiculous. It's really a ridiculous thing in the bylaws, and it's a very simple thing to take out. And it makes it reasonable that they prepare and submit the station's budget. The bylaws do place a lot of emphasis on them coming up with a budget and running the station.
Okay, it was the prepare part I was concerned about, but okay.
Okay, please, board members, that's to be recognized. So I just want to get people's interpretation. Is this going to trigger a membership vote for just suggesting changes to two words or three words?
No.
So, no?
I lean to the spec.
Is that to read, Bill? No?
Membership vote's not required.
Okay. Go ahead, Arlene.
Yeah, I don't agree with this. I think it's pretty semantic. And the LSB, maybe it needs to be... maybe we need the detail that the LSB would approve it once it's adequate. You know, it's not like the LSB is just going to approve any piece of crap. I mean, our LSB always has questions. You know, yeah, management works on it with people from the finance committee, and then the full LSB gets to look it over and ask their questions, and sometimes things might even be changed in the budget, updated. But yeah, management prepares it. Management actually submits it as well. So I don't think this change is, I don't think it needs to happen. I just wouldn't I wouldn't spend any more time on this personally. I understand
we're leaving us stuck,
Alan, but I don't think it's, I don't think there's any point to it.
You're leaving us stuck with a bylaws requirement that says we have to do something ridiculous.
Alan, do not do that. You need to be recognized.
Nancy on stack.
Stack also, please.
Tom, go ahead, Tom. We haven't heard from you yet.
So I just wanted to say one simple thing. I think the intent of having LSBs approve the budget, you know, I think the intent there is to send it back until they can approve it. You know, I think you're looking at this the wrong way, right? It's, you know, send it back, right, until they get it so it can be approved. You should not be releasing a budget that's not approved. That's all I had to say.
Thank you, Tom. Salient point. Who else asked for the stack? I think I heard Nancy.
Yes.
Hold on, Nancy. Anyone else after Nancy? Okay, after
Michael
Nancy,
White
I will go.
Stack.
Go ahead, Nancy.
Yes,
Michael White
the
stack.
In the history.
Nancy, myself, Michael White. Go ahead.
In the history, when a budget was not able to be approved by the LSB, and if it goes on for a long time, the finance, National Finance Committee has just taken taken over the process of doing that, and they do it. And then the of course the station does not have any say so. It's in the hands of the National Finance Committee. So that has happened in the past. But it's not like you have to just keep having a tug of war with management and LSB not agreeing on a budget. I mean, it won't go on forever. It cannot. I wanted to make a motion. Can I talk two things, different things? Or I need to work. Wait.
Now, can you wait to we exhaust this back, Nancy, please?
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so I would – the only thing I want to say is that I believe this also should be recommended to the revisions task force. That's all I have to say. Michael D.D. White. WBAI.
Yeah, I think that one of the things that's going on here is the way the bylaws set up checks and balances, and in doing so, they divide power. So the you know, this is a situation where you're talking about an overall budget that an LSB is incapable of controlling totally. And the LSB is a subcommittee of the PNB. And so you've got this three-way division of responsibility between management and LSB review and ultimately going to the PNB. And only the PNB has control over the way I see it. And, you know, if anyone wants to correct me. Only the PNB has control over the entire budget picture. So trying to create a roadblock where things just get hung up at the LSB level could be a problem. And, you know, we know that, you know, going way back, different stations have been operating in the red from time to time, and that makes it very difficult for an LSB to approve a budget.
Okay.
Alan,
go ahead, Alan.
Well, a moment ago, somebody said if you don't approve it, you should revise it until you do approve it. We can't. The budget does not give us the power to revise it. That's why I want to change it, to say we shall prepare and submit the station's budget. Then we can make a budget that we can stand and approve. That's all, just to take the conflict out of the bylaws.
Tom, for the sack again, please.
Go ahead, Tom.
I was not proposing that we should change it as the PNB. The LSB not even let it get that far. It should be sent back to the preparers, which is the GM and the business manager, until they get a budget that the LSB can approve. That's all I had to say.
Thank you. I'm going to call on myself real quick. So what's happening, and I could just talk to for my other speech. What's happening is that there's a wrestling match, right? One of the key things in the bylaws and in the section that's not even in here, in this citation, is that the station management is supposed to submit a timely budget, and it's also supposed to work with the local station board finance committee and the LSB in formulating a budget. And then, I mean, the management will formulate the budget, but there should be a collaboration, right? And what's happening is there's no collaboration, and what ends up happening is a wrestling match. And then by the time it gets to the LSB, it gets there barely in time to send it to the National Finance Committee, and it gets rejected because there was no opportunity to provide input. There was no collaboration involved. So in regards to that's all I have to say about that. And I think what I'd like to recommend is that this go for further refinement to the task force that we just created.
This is James.
So I'd like to move on to the... Go ahead, James.
Yeah, I just want to thank you, Lawrence. I just want to sort of outline the way I perceive that we're doing it now, and it's more or less what Lawrence described, which is it comes from the business manager and the station management. They work out a budget, as was said, based on previous year, and they bring that to the finance committee where it is reviewed and it's discussed and there's back and forth on it. And if they can come to an agreement on something, then that gets forwarded to the NFC where it's reviewed again, and then it goes on to the national board. Where it breaks down, at least recently, where it's broken down is when the management and the LSB can't come to a conclusion or decision. And in that case, what we're doing is we're sending it on to the NFC without the approval of the local finance committee or the local LSB. I understand that that's been going on for some time. It doesn't happen every time, but some budgets get passed on over the heads of the local finance committee. And in fact, the PNB passed a resolution this year, or maybe it was, I guess it was last year, saying that if stations don't come up with a budget within such and such a period of time, in this case, it was within 2 weeks, then the National Finance Committee would take whatever available financial data that they could come by and create a budget for a station that wasn't able to get a budget together. Now, by taking the easy budgets first, so far we've been able to, you know, people have been able to come up with their own budgets, and eventually now it looks like we're going to take Texas next, and hopefully that will be based on what they did. The question where it's come to a loggerhead seems to be in LA, where it doesn't look like they, at least now, they can yet come up with a budget that's agreed upon to pass along. So there is a way to deal with it if you get to a point where you can't come to an agreement, and that's that the NFC just takes it, or the local finance committee chair just sends it as is. Whatever they've got, they send it along. And then it eventually goes, of course, to the PNB, which has that final authority anyway. So that's what we're doing now. And I think one of the problems that this is pointing out is it's something that Eileen was starting to work on earlier, and that was to get these kinds of policies regularized. And when the PNB makes this kind of a policy decision, that it be filed somewhere where everybody knows where to go to find it. We have many resolutions that have been passed over the years, and only people that have been around for a long time and have these things in their email records seem to be able to have access to this stuff. There doesn't seem to be a central place where these things are kept. This was something that the governance committee was starting to look at, and I hope they do continue to look at it. We need a place where these policies are kept so that people can refer to them and everybody's looking at the same thing.
Thank you, James.
Can I get on the stack? Daniel. Can Daniel get on the stack?
Yeah, Daniel, please. Go ahead, Daniel.
Yes. I want to just toss out one problem that I basically see, that I've seen happen again and again and again, year after year. They put together a budget and send it out to the LSB basically the night before the LSB meeting at which we're going to approve it. And obviously, who can review it within just minutes or just a very short period of time? So in other words, it seems to be a way of just ignoring the LSB.
The way Alan Beek-Tusack. Who's that?
Alan Beek-Tusack.
Okay, Alan, you'll be the last person. I'm gonna be the last person, and then we're gonna move on.
Well,
ahead, Alan.
Somebody has said that the staff should correct the budget until the budget to the finance committee approves it. The finance committee has repeatedly told the staff that budget is not right, correct it, and the staff just refuses to correct it. They will not turn in a suitable budget. They will not turn in a budget that doesn't have a big deficit. And we tell them, no, that's no good. Give us one that's right. And they won't do it. Meeting after meeting goes by with the staff simply refusing to respond to what the finance committee tells them. That's what we're up against. That's why we should leave it up to the station board itself, be responsible for the budget.
Thank you. In addition to what James was saying, and also what Michael was saying earlier, and Tom, there is a check and balance here. What Daniel said, these things are submitted, you know, a day or maybe a week. If we're lucky, we'll get the budget a week before the, so again, that thing that's not mentioned here about submitting timely budgets and the collaboration instead of the wrestling matches that take place with station management in regards to finances and getting budgets on time is what's created this problem. And I think this resolution is a hornet's nest. And so I think I'd like to recommend it to go to the task force. I'd like to move on to motion three Nancy, if it's beating on this horse again, I'd really rather not.
No. I want to make a motion.
Okay, go ahead.
The governance committee moves for the PMB secretary to be the repository for policies or amendments, since bylaw amendments can come from many sources, from the PMB, from the LSBs, and from the membership petition. So I think not us having, I mean, we could have a copy, but I think the PMB secretary should be the repository.
I agree. And you
so
stole
my
thunder.
That's my motion. So.
You stole my thunder because that's what I was going to recommend.
Bill for the stack.
Go ahead, Bill.
You know, we were talking a lot about the specifics, you know, and Alan has some good points about what do you do if local management is recalcitrant and doesn't care about whether they have a balanced budget or whatever. But, you know, we're ignoring the really big, serious issues. We've got huge deficits we keep running. And even when, and I've seen this happen over and over again, a station develops a budget that looks balanced and sometimes it's approved by the NFC and the PNB, doesn't mean it's going to stay balanced, because if it's based on unrealistic expectations and if management will not change what they're doing or staffing or whatever to ensure that it stays balanced if, you know, if you have unexpected changes in revenue or expenses, then none of the stuff we're talking about is going to matter. I mean, what's really important is you need to stop. We need to stop the deficits and we need to reverse them. We don't even have a way of defined yet of paying off this debt, you know, that we have with FJC, for example. And those are the kind of big issues we should be worried about. And I don't care the specific wording just about, I guess, about the, you know, whether their LSBs are proposing the budgets or not. I mean, realistically, it's going to be the management that proposes them. I agree with him that the LSB should be looking at them and trying to make sure they're balanced and everything. But if the station, the management insists on putting forward an unbalanced budget, the PNB should, I mean, the NFC should stop that also and correct it. And it's done that in the past. And then, you know, and then the ED should insist that local managers keep their, you know, operations in balance. So, I mean, all this is independent of the bylaws. So I think tweaking a few words here and there aren't going to make a difference in these really big issues.
Thank you.